For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It is the 8 o'clock hour, and that means we get to do the news roundup. The news roundup is a fun little thing we like to do every single day. We look back on all the other shows, we find out what they were talking about, and then we just bring it to you guys. Like, we boil down 3 hours of their show to sometimes it's a minute, sometimes it's a minute and a half. And it's really the best part of their show. So if you don't want to listen to anything else, you can just listen to News Roundup. Then you've gotten everything from Cairo in one single day.
It is highly concentrated.
Yes, highly concentrated.
For effective delivery.
Yes. All right. That is, of course, Matt Butler, who joins me every single day on the News Roundup. Matt, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
All right. I'm going to play you this trivia clip. We got to pay this off. This is a lot of people got this earlier when we did it on the start of the show. I'm going to play it for you now. Good luck.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
It's short and sweet. You know what that one is?
I do not.
All right, that is, of course, Vince Vaughn in Swingers.
Ah.
You remember Swingers?
I do, yes, yes.
Swingers is one of those movies that it was kind of a touchstone in my life, although I was too young for it at the time. Like, when the movie, I'm trying to think when the movie came out. I think it was early 90s.
Okay.
And I just loved it. It felt like kind of a movie that, like, your cool big brother. I didn't have a big brother, but, like, right. It felt like a movie that your cool big brother would like.
Yeah.
And I still, to this day, Swingers is just one of those, like, simple movies to enjoy. I think all guys.
Yes. It's a good movie. Yeah.
Tend to like Swingers.
I enjoyed it.
Production wise, I was actually, I was fascinated by it because it was kind of interesting how they got the movie made. You know, who wrote the movie? I'm sorry. Favreau. John Favreau.
Yeah.
So he's the star of that movie, and he wrote it. He did not direct it, but he did star in the movie, and he wrote the movie. So I guess at some point his dad gave him some screenwriting software, and, you know, all screenwriters write with a couple different versions of a software. And so his dad was like, I know you're into screenwriting, and, you know, I want to get this for you. I think this would be a good way for you to get over. I guess he'd just been broken up with or something like that. It's like, I kind of know the story. But so he starts writing the script.
Yeah.
And this is the first thing he starts to write, and it ends up becoming Swingers.
Wow.
And he just basically wrote it about the experiences that he was having at the time living. I mean, this was his life, like living in Los Angeles, all these places that populate the movie, like they go to the Dresden and all these different cool bars, you know, for like Frank Sinatra's birthday and all these different things. Those are real places that he would go to. And so, and then he populates the movie with his friends. Like, I don't know if you knew this, but like Jon Favreau played in, you remember the movie Rudy?
Oh,
which
is
a massive, you know, wonderful movie that we've talked about many times on the show. So he played Rudy's like best friend in that movie. And that's where he met Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn played one of the football players in the movie. Right. So the two of them kind of hit it off there. So he just populates the movie with his buddies, and they make this movie for like nothing. I think they made it for like 500 grand or something. And then in order to get it sold, they couldn't find anybody who wanted to buy it. So they're like, all right, we need to do, like, you know, they do this big, when you're trying to sell an independent film, you need to put on a big show and you need to invite all these, you know, independent movie studios or distributors, people who you can get excited about it.
Yeah.
And then they hopefully will make a purchase. A lot of times this will happen at a place like Sundance.
Or Can.
Or Can. Can is really more for like, I think of Can more as like movies that are already like well-financed and all that. Like Sundance is...
But Sundance is the
independent
indie.
Movies. You're looking for buyers.
Right.
So what they did was they rented out this big theater and they're trying to get people to go see the movie. But they, like, nobody's going to go see this movie that nobody knows. Nobody knows anyone in it. Nobody knows like that it's that they should care about it. So what they do is they go to the cast and crew and like all their friends, come see this movie and we need you to laugh harder at every single joke than you've ever laughed in any movie in your life. And so they just fill the theater with friends, which is a really smart idea.
Yeah,
I don't know
savvy.
Why other people don't do this. So they fill the movie with friends And then they have like, they managed to get just a couple of distributors or people who might come in, buyers, to come and see the movie. And so they come and they're like, oh my gosh, people really love this movie. And then they end up selling it for, at the time, like some record amount, because they just basically got their friends to convince them it was a great movie.
That's brilliant hustle, right?
Yeah,
there.
It's just good hustling. Yeah. But it was a really good movie. It's fantastic. So yeah. I obviously have a special place in my heart for that movie. All right, so that's Swingers. Good job guessing, everyone who got that. And shame for those of you who missed it. All right, on Seattle's Morning News, a library has found a perfect way to forgive overdue book fines. And you typed in perfect here. Let's see what that's about. I think it's a cat reference.
A library in Worcester, Massachusetts has come up with a unique way to relieve library late fees. The Worcester Public Library announced all you have to do is show them your cat. Through the end of March, people who have lost or damaged library books can bring a picture, drawing, magazine clipping, anything you'd like. They just want to see cats, and librarians will reactivate their library cards. Oh, they're awash with kittens. The New York Times reports the program is called March Meowness. In the first few days, the program has helped get hundreds of books returned, 400 to be exact. And now library branches have a growing mural of cat pictures. The library noted that since the pandemic, many people have not returned from the isolation and back to the public library. They're encouraging people to act meow and return to the glory days of the public library.
So they're what are they doing with cats? Can you explain this to me?
If you have a picture of your cat, or I suppose if you were to bring your cat, if it was so well behaved, then you can bring these cat pictures into the library, say, hey, here's my cat, here's my pet, whatever its name is, and get your card reactivated.
So they'll forgive your overdue fines?
Apparently, just for being a pet owner.
Just for bringing a pet?
Yeah. And I guess they have a wall up now. They display all these little cats, the apparently well-read cats, because they've had time to read these books.
I guess, yeah. They've had them for a long time. Well, good for them, I guess, if they're trying to get more cats in the building. I'm allergic to cats, so this is not something that I would do, but maybe I could show them a picture of a cat I don't own. I don't know where I'd get that picture.
I mean, yeah, are they going to like do a deep background check on this to make sure it's really
probably
your
not.
Cat?
No, probably not. And I'm sure you can AI this. I'm sure people just AI
this. Just take
this.
A picture of the neighbor's cat.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Gian Ursula, is an arcade a good place to hold a bachelor party? Let's find out.
Is an arcade a good place for a bachelor party?
I just said that.
That's where I'm heading for mine, and I'm curious, do we need to do all of these standard bachelor parties, wedding showers? Gee, you were giving me a little grief for this one earlier, so I had to ask. Is an arcade a good spot for a bachelor party? Mind you, the world's largest arcade and a living, functioning museum.
Ursula, so Nick is telling me about his bachelor party. Now, you guys have got a pretty good sense of my personality and who we are. Now, Paul is telling me about his bachelor party. So, Ursula, I say, hey, so where are you going? He's going to New Hampshire.
Okay.
To an arcade.
What's in New Hampshire besides the
world's
arcade?
Largest arcade?
Oh, that's truly why. Not family?
No, I'm going. Well, my family lives in Boston, and my cousins are going to come up too. So I'll see some East Coast family. But I'm specifically going for this arcade.
Cool.
Okay, but here's my question: have you ever in your life either overheard, or in conversation, or saw it on TV? Or seen it on social media, anyone says, hey, everyone, going to New Hampshire for my bachelor party. Let me just tell you, that is the most raisins in potato salad bachelor party I've ever heard in my life.
So he just think it's podunk. It's not exciting. He doesn't like it.
Who says they're going to New Hampshire? But the largest arcade, that sounds objectively cool to me. I didn't know that existed.
I don't know if I'd go to see the largest arcade for my bachelor party, but I guess I mean, I don't know. For my bachelor party, we did not go to New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
Took me a while to find that. For my bachelor party, we went to whitewater rafting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which was really fun.
Yeah,
and
it was an adventure.
it felt a little risky. It felt like, you know,
an adrenaline rush
with the guys. Totally. And, you know, it was great. It was a fun afternoon. Nobody died, thankfully, and so, you know, the wedding party was able to do what we needed to do. I'm trying to think, who other bachelor party? You know what the best bachelor party is, by far?
Tell me.
Is just golf weekends.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the best. My brother, he did a bachelor party weekend where we went away to Leavenworth.
Okay.
And we just went and played a bunch of golf. We ate at good restaurants. We played a ton of golf. And then he came back and got married.
There you go.
You know?
It's a classic.
Like Sideways, like the movie Sideways.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Except without the horrible stuff.
Right. Yeah, minus that.
Minus all the horrible stuff.
Still, props to Paul Holden for a unique bachelor party. I mean, if your buddies are gamers, I can see where that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, if they're super into it, great. Yeah. Great.
Why not?
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's a fun idea. It's different. It's, you know, it's a little different, and I think that's fun, too. All right, Jack and Spike. Jack's about to become a foster dad. What? No, he's not. Is he going to have kids? Jack's not going to have kids. He's a single dude.
So I get the email back, and I'm doing the orientation on Sunday.
What, this Sunday?
This Sunday.
That's awesome.
But my concern is basically this, is that I have just learned what a foster fail is, and I'm almost positive that's going to happen to me when I foster a kitty, because I signed up to foster senior cats, and...
So he is a foster cat father.
Yeah, a foster cat daddy.
This is a cat daddy. That sounds so creepy, doesn't it? A foster a cat daddy.
That's why it works.
Oh my gosh, gross. This sounds a lot like this. I guess the cat is the theme here, right? We had the Seattle's Morning News library cat thing.
Sort of theme today.
And now Jack is a cat daddy.
And that are hard to adopt.
So I think foster fail, if I understand it correctly, means you fall in love with the cat you're fostering and you want to keep it.
Yeah, that's basically okay. What
foster
happens.
Fail. It's a foster that you were just keeping this cat company and safe and loved until they get a permanent home?
Yeah, but other people do with kittens. And I signed up specifically for older kitties that have shelter problems. And so, and I also signed up to do bonded pairs. And so,
like more than one cat that are together being separated is going to really be bad for
them. Yeah, that's emotionally bad for them. So I signed up for that. But here's my problem is that I am so emotionally codependent that on things like when Nora was filling in, I asked Nora if I could get her anything. And she said, I want a LaCroix. For the next 5 consecutive days, I got Nora a LaCroix without her asking. Because I'm emotionally codependent. I have such a problem with this that I need to work on it.
Is it pronounced LaCroix or LaCroix?
I thought it was LaCroix.
I thought it was LaCroix too. Yeah, no, I think he's saying that wrong.
Yeah, might be.
He knows more about cats than he does about LaCroix. Do you have any pets, Matt?
I don't. Growing up, I had a beagle. A little beagle named Jeeves.
Oh, that's right. You've told me about Jeeves.
Yeah, he was a cute dog.
That's
love
a great
that
name for a beagle.
Are you that way? Do you get very emotionally attached to your animals?
You know, my wife is laughing right now because she's listening to this segment and she's thinking to herself, absolutely not. He doesn't get emotionally attached to animals. She said, like, I was raised kind of in a farm situation. We had a lot of animals, so you don't really look at animals that same way. But, the truth is that I really do actually get attached to animals. I had 3 dogs growing up. I loved my dogs. One of them we had to give away. It's like this devastating story that I carry with me to this day. And we still, all of my siblings and I still give my dad heck about it because
that the one you said he had to take the dog somewhere?
Yeah, to a farm. He took him to a farm. Every once in a while we get updates on how he was doing at the farm.
Still thriving in his retirement.
I think he's still there.
Yeah.
30 years later. I think that dog is still alive.
Living his best elder dog life.
He's doing great. Yeah. No, but my dog was a murderer. He was a killer. He was a hunting dog. He had that instinct. It was bred into him through many generations of hunting dogs. And so he just wasn't in a position at our house to get to scratch that itch. So he went out and did it on his own. And my parents decided that was time to get rid of that dog because I think he killed my neighbor's rabbits growing up. Yeah. Can't have that. He would kill snakes. He would kill, which I don't mind. I hate snakes, but he would kill garter snakes. Yep. He would kill, what else would he kill? He killed squirrels. I told you one time he jumped up. He was sitting in the backyard and I'm watching him just like stare at these two birds going over his head. And he's just kind of this bird flying over his head, just like low. And he's just going back and forth, his eyes, you know, like one of those cat clocks or something. He's just going back and forth, back and forth. And then he just jumps up, snaps a bird midair.
Boom.
One time he's going nuts in the yard. I don't even know what he's doing. He's just like going nuts. I'm like, oh, look at Calvin. He's going nuts. And he's rooting around. He's got his nose on the grass and he's just sniffing away. And what he was doing, I didn't realize this, but well, I'll tell you what he's doing in a second, but he runs 10 feet forward and he starts digging like crazy, like digging really, really fast. And he digs, and then he stares down into the hole. I don't even know how he did this. And people are going to think that I'm making the story up, and I'm not. This was something he did, and I watched him do it, and I thought to myself, this dog's got a special talent for killing. Mm. He's sitting there staring into this hole that he's just dug, just like a statue, not moving, just his whole body. You've seen like hunting dog photos where they just kind of, they get rigid and they know they're looking at something they're about to kill. And he's staring down in this hole, and then a little tiny, you know, like a vole?
Yep.
A tiny little pops out in the dirt, jumps down. He like just snaps it up.
Wow.
So he was tracking it as it was going underneath the earth.
Yes.
And then he jumps ahead. I don't know how he did that math in his head. He's a very smart dog, I guess.
Special ops training, the canine corps.
Something. Yes. There you go. But he was a killer, so we had to get rid of him. But, yeah, I get very connected to animals. Long-winded answer to your question, but yes, I get very connected. But he had to go. It was time
highly
for him
talented
to go.
Dog, though.
What's that?
Highly talented dog, though.
Yes. Yeah. If I was a hunter, it would have been a dream.
Perfect.
But because we didn't hunt, then he was just, you know, his... underutilized at our house. All right, John and Sherry, real fast. Let's get to this. John and Sherry, this is gross. Apparently, John starts his day in a very strange way. We're about to hear it. And thank goodness this is radio and this is not a visual medium.
Okay, let me explain before I play the song. Get up, go downstairs, feed the dogs, let them outside. And then I have a routine because I want to try to get going, start get oxygen to the brain. And I do this. And Nick comes up every once in a while. What are you doing? I'm like... best you don't see this.
So there's and no audience? It's just you?
Why would I want an audience to this?
I
not everything
I
do needs an audience, although I'd appreciate it.
Okay, if you say so.
Although now he's telling his audience.
All right. Imagine me naked.
Oh, okay.
Ugh.
But put black boxes over parts you don't want to see, as long as you're drawing pictures in your mind.
Yeah.
Sherry, a little bigger black box would be appreciated. Sorry.
All right. Stupid.
Wait, why are you putting the black box over my face?
That's pretty funny.
Well, you said the things I don't want to see.
Oh. All right. And I play this song.
Is this Andre Bocelli?
Yes. All right. And then... wish I were naked right now. Yes! Move that black box down a little bit, Sherry, because I'm going spread eagle.
Oh, my God.
Take it up, Andrew. Take it up.
So what does he do? He just gets naked and he listens to Andre Bocelli?
I guess he just gets naked. He does his, he gets pumped up. He does his stretches.
He does stretches?
Yeah.
And just naked?
Yeah, just one with nature.
He does live out in the middle of nowhere.
It begs the question, though. If you were to go the John Curley route in your morning routine, what would be your amp up song?
What would be my amp? That's a great question. Do you have an answer to that? Do you know what you would do?
I do.
What is it?
Something upbeat, synth pop, and kind of dark from the 80s. Get some Depeche Mode or some New Order, Blue Monday with that pumping rhythm.
There you go.
Get out there, embrace the harsh realities of nature. In my fullness of form.
Good for you.
That's what
I
do.
Good for you. I would, what's the theme song to that guy who used to, he's like that funny British comedian, Benny Hinn. Benny Hill? Not Benny Hinn.
Benny Hinn. The famous comedic televangelist from
Benny
Great Britain.
Benny Hinn is a televangelist. No, I'm not getting naked listening to that guy. You know Benny Hill?
Yeah,
right?
Benny Hill.
Remember his theme?
Yeah, I remember
like, just
his
like kind of silly,
yeah,
stupid.
It's fun.
No, I wouldn't do that. It's ridiculous.
Good stuff. Watch for me at Denny Blaine Park this summer, doing my best to live up to
that's
the John
right.
Curley
that's the naked,
level.
That's the naked park, right?
Yeah. Look forward to it.
I think you should try that. All right. If anybody wants to check this out, then go to mynorthwest.com. I hope there's no pictures involved, but there's actually an article where John talks about this. So you can check it out there. All right. That's it, Matt. We've done it again.
We've done it all.
We've reached the end of the show, or the end of the segment, I should say. All right. We got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to Mariners.com/Kids Club to join.
Sick of being upsold at gyms? My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G and Ursula on Cairo News Radio.
The giant new graffiti on the medians and the concrete walls.
Did somebody strap you down and spray paint you in your life? What'd they do to you, Ursula?
9 to noon, streaming live on your smart speaker.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. You guys have heard me on this show many, many times talk about my kids, as I have mentioned countless times, much to the chagrin many of my listeners who text in and say, quit talking about your kids. But I can't. This is, I don't know, it's just like my whole life, so I can't stop talking about them. This is my place to complain. That's why they hired me on here. So I could come on here, I could complain to you guys about my kids, and you guys are supposed to help me with that. That's what this is. This is free therapy. So I wanted to talk to a couple of friends of mine. They have kids who are just a slightly older than my kids, and so I thought it would be fun to just like have them down here. So I have my buddy Paul. Paul, hello.
Hola.
I have my buddy Nate.
Hey, Jake.
Good to have you guys.
Yeah, it's great.
This is kind of like, I thought we'd do kind of like a panel, you know, where we're just like on the, like you look at major news networks.
You bet.
CNN, they have a ton of people. Fox News, they have a ton of people. But on our show, it's just me. Like on my, I even call it R to make it sound more people, but it's just me. It's just my show. So I thought it'd be fun to have you guys down here and I can ask you guys questions. You can give me advice. As parents.
I like it.
Does that sound good?
It's kind of like, it's like the first line of like in a battle scene. We're out in front in the
yes.
parenting. We fall in.
No. Jake's out in front. We're behind saying, go forward.
That's
go forward.
Well, yeah, that's a great idea, Jake. You try that.
And people may recognize Nate's voice. Nate was a guest once, maybe yes. about, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah, I think about that, talking
two,
cycling.
2.5 months ago, talking about cycling.
You bet.
You have a very, on this show, you have a very famous injury
yes.
in your nether regions.
Yeah.
And I won't tell everybody what that is, but.
They can go back and listen
they can
to the
go
podcast
back and listen
if
to
they
it.
Want to.
But all I want to say is you are a person who now has just one.
Testicle.
Yeah, you said it.
That pretty much sums it up.
That's right it. There.
That's I mean, that's it. Actually, you had a horrible biking accident.
Yeah.
And it yeah. ended. Yeah. So it was bad. But the story of how he got that single, I don't know if he, yeah, testicle, we can say it, is very, very funny. So you guys should listen to that and check it out. Find it on the podcast. All right. So here's the situation that I find this morning in my house. Because every day is kind of crazy. I wake up. One of my kids inevitably always wakes me up at like 5:30 a.m. You guys are probably past that stage.
No.
Paul, how old are your kids?
7 and 14.
Seven and 14.
And the 7-year-old every day.
Every day you're still getting that.
She's waking me up. Boom, boom, boom.
All right, Nate, your kids are older.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm at the 18 and 15 stage. So I'm like on Christmas morning, I'm waking them up at like 9 a.m. saying
like,
it's time
away.
To open. Yeah, exactly. So I'm the, yep, I've been there though.
So my kids always, one of them, I have three boys, as you guys know, I have three boys and one of them always wakes me up super early. And this morning, my oldest son is super excited because last night, he had a basketball practice, and he got, like, player of the practice. I don't know why they did this, but they decided to give out yo-yos every time somebody's player of the practice. Now, I don't know why.
Player of the practice?
Like, giving 8-year-olds yo-yos seems like
right.
a dangerous
yeah.
idea to me.
Uh-huh.
So he shows me this yo-yo this morning, but he has never done a yo-yo. I don't know
okay.
why. Yo-yos were huge when I was a kid.
Yep.
And I remember doing them all the time.
Sure.
But a yo-yo is a thing that he's never done. And so he's like, how does it work? And so I'm like, oh, I can actually show you. And this is like pretty great, actually. So because I have this ability to make it go up and down.
Right.
I can also
walk. You're a master.
I'm a master.
Yeah.
I can walk the dog.
Uh-huh.
I can also do the cradle thing. Do you guys know
yeah.
the cradle thing?
Oh, yeah.
Like
cats in the yeah.
It's not cats
it's
in the cradle.
It's not in the cats in the cradle, but
no, it's like
no,
a
baby
cradle.
Cradle
or
baby, rock the cradle.
Rock the baby.
Yeah.
Baby fish mouth.
Baby fish mouth. So I can do that. And so my kids, my like all three of my sons, they're 8, 6, and 4. They're standing there watching me. And I go, oh, watch this, guys. And I go, and I make it like stall.
Yeah.
And then I whip it back up. You flick your finger and it comes back to you. And then I walk the dog and they just go.
Their minds are blown.
Dad is a magician. Honestly.
Why have you been keeping this from us, Dad? Yeah.
All of a sudden, the respect in my children's eyes that I have never seen before just for mediocre yo-yo tricks was like nothing I've experienced.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to chase this feeling. I'm going to keep this going. You ever seen Rock the Cradle? And like I tried an Eiffel Tower and that didn't work out, but they were still thrilled by it. So I'm trying to teach them all now one by one how to like, and it's, I mean, it's impossible to teach a kid to yo-yo.
It's a feeling. It's almost like whistling. You can say, here's what it looks like to do it right.
Yeah, put your lips together.
Right.
And blow.
Shape it. But at the end of the day, they have to feel it and do it.
They can't. Yeah. They can't. They just can't yo-yo.
Yeah.
And so this ruins their morning because they have just watched me do amazing tricks. Yeah.
Show me the magic, Daddy.
And then now they want to know how the magic is done. Yeah. And so then I end up, I'm like, I'm chasing these kids around when they should be eating breakfast, getting ready for school. Now I'm chasing them around because they're swinging yo-yos over there. One yo-yo. And I'm like, put the yo-yo down. And I'm just having, I'm like just an out-of-body experience because the level of, you guys understand this as parents.
Yeah.
But the level of chaos
that
they can achieve in a very short period of time is not something that you are ready for until you have kids. And even then, you're not ready. And you just can't expect it. You can't plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, like, when does the yelling, I yell every single day.
Yes.
I'm screaming at these kids every single day. And I'm just wondering, now, Paul, you have two girls, so your opinion on this is not as valuable.
If it's higher pitch, though.
That's true.
When does the yelling stop?
Many parents would tell you it stops when you stop yelling.
Oh,
has your wife ever said, well, the reason why they're yelling is because they learned it from you? Do you ever hear that?
Yes, yes, I have heard that.
Okay, well, you should listen. You should maybe listen to her. Dude, here's the age. It's probably going to be 5 for all of them, 5 or above, maybe 6 or 7.
But my 8-year-old's who I'm yelling at.
Right. And I think what you're talking, and I think, Jake, because
it's
all
like
boys.
It's like a locker room mentality
There's a level that one hits, and then the other one has to be heard over them, and they kind of go over, and then you have to be heard over all of them, so then you set a new bar. So here's my question for you, Jake. Do you have a tone where you drop it significantly and they know that's Dad's serious tone? Is that the de-escalation where you can be like, all of a sudden Dad's quiet?
Usually what I have to do, honestly, because I do have a voice I shift into. So I'll be like, all right, guys, put the yo-yo down. Put the yo-yo down.
You sound like Batman. Get over here.
You don't want any part of this yo-yo.
Back up.
Yeah.
What I have to do to make them stop.
Yeah.
There is just this synergistic thing that's happening with three of boys.
Yep. Yeah.
I have to remove one of them from the equation because with the three of them, it's like a Bermuda Triangle.
Sure.
Just craziness.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the chaos, I need to divide and conquer. So I have to literally lift one up and I take them out of the room and I place them in a different room. And then the other two are like, can start thinking straight for some reason. They can like, they're deprogramming or something.
So it's kind of like those beta fish, you know, when you go into the
fighting fish.
The pet shop, and there's like two pieces of glass and the fish are trying to kill each other. But then you drop something in there and then the fish go back to being docile.
Yeah.
You basically have three
beta
young
fishes.
Male betas that scream at your house and you just need to put dividers between them.
That's a good idea. It sounds expensive.
Or you give them tasks. Like
is a good idea.
That's a
like
good thing.
Like chores.
Like you distract them because they're cycling on a topic and an idea. And if you can just get them off that train and like, hey, we're gonna go do this or let's go do this.
That's actually really good advice. And I have stumbled upon something similar. So like this morning, everybody's going crazy. I'm I'm way too much screaming about a yo-yo, and my wife, you know, she comes out, she's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm realizing like that I've been pulled into the chaos and I'm not behaving like an adult at this point.
Right.
I'm just screaming
you're just
way
the oldest
louder than
boy out of four boys in the room.
Yeah.
Child's toy stuck to your finger.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife walks out and I'm screaming, drop the yo-yo. And I'm like walking the dog across the floor. And then I realize I see the scene from her point of view and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know. Let me step back. Hey boys, you know, and I calm down. Yeah. I act like a great dad. But what I did was I sent my oldest son, I said, all right, go brush your teeth for school. Task.
Yes. Task.
Middle son, go put pants on.
Yes.
Task.
Yes.
Youngest son, you look like you got to go to the bathroom. Task.
Redirect them to the goal.
Send them out.
Yes.
go do your things.
Right.
And then hopefully it all just quiets down.
Yeah.
So that's when you left for work, like right after that?
Right.
And then I said, gotta go, sweetie. And I left. I just left it with her. I haven't talked to him since, so I hope they're okay. They probably are.
That was like 2 weeks ago?
That was 2 weeks ago.
I do have this picture, though. I think the first mistake as a parent was the fact that you put one yo-yo in the midst of three boys.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's like one lawn dart for like eight kids at a party to play with.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's
right.
Getting stabbed.
No, yeah. Everyone needs a yo-yo for sure.
That's what I think it is.
But the trick is nobody needs a yo-yo.
No one
at this
does.
Age. At 8, 6, and 4, nobody needs a yo-yo. They don't have the motor skills.
Fair.
They don't have the patience.
Yeah.
And they're not as good as their dad.
And they're very destructive.
Yeah.
I mean, they're basically like a helicopter walking through your house.
Yeah, no kidding.
And they don't understand, you know, inertia and momentum.
I'm doing it.
And you know it's just one loose finger knot away from that thing going from a yo-yo to a bolus flying through the house.
And I got to wrap this up. But I have this also, this instinct where I have this special, unique skill in yo-yoing.
Yeah, right? You do. You can do
I have hours
tricks.
And hours of skill that I want to show these kids. I want to blow their minds. I want to look like the best dad in the world.
Yeah.
And so my wife's sitting there. She's eating breakfast. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to show them one more trick.
Well, you want to show how great of a husband you are, too, to her. Like, she's like, look at what kind of dad I am.
That's right.
Know.
No, yeah, totally. Yeah. But really, I just wanted to like,
just want to show the tricks.
It's an ego thing. I want to show the tricks. And so I'm like, watch around the world. And I go, like spin it around.
Yeah.
And it was a bad way to end the morning. But I really appreciate the advice. Tasks.
Ask.
That's what I'm taking away from this conversation. And in your case, Paul.
Have girls.
Just have all girls.
If you had all girls, it'd be fine.
We wouldn't even be having this issue right now.
No, there's no yo-yos.
All right. That is Nate and Paul. Thanks you guys for hanging out. We got a lot more coming up on the show. So stick around. We're going to be right back here on Kyra Nights.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dave Ross on Seattle's Morning News.
It was a traffic miracle, and what made this miracle possible was the presence of traffic officers, professionally trained human beings.
Weekdays 6 to 9, streaming live on your smart speaker. You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Radio. I wanted to tell you guys a story because I found this just fascinating. Are you guys interested in Amelia Earhart? Actually, if my audience even remembers that, like, are you old enough to even remember who Amelia Earhart was? She was a famous flyer back in the 1930s. She took off for an around-the-world, I think it was an around-the-world trip, and her plane went down. And it's just this bizarre story, and she just disappeared off the face of the earth. Well, the Wall Street Journal has this really interesting piece. Apparently, there's a commercial real estate investor from Charleston, South Carolina, who thinks he may have found her aircraft after all these years. So listen to this. This is from Wall Street Journal. When she disappeared on her most ambitious trip, what she hoped would be a record-setting journey around the world, it sparked a decades-long mystery. What happened to Amelia Earhart? That's a pretty good beginning. Tony Romeo, a pilot himself and a former U.S. Air Force intelligence officer, is the latest in a string of adventurers to plumb the depths of the Pacific Ocean in search of the plane that Earhart was flying in 1937, when at the peak of her fame, she vanished. So the Wall Street Journal talked to this guy. He was a commercial real estate investor. He spent $11 million of his own money trying to do these really deep sea sonar scans to try to find Amelia Earhart's Lockheed 10E Electra, which was the plane she was flying at the time. And Romeo said he has plans to return to the spot where he thinks he found her plane. And he got a really good image. You can see this. It's at Wall Street Journal if you're at all interested in going and seeing this. And the picture is really, really fuzzy, and it just looks like a sonar scan. So it's not even, you can't even really tell that it's a plane. However, it does look like the outline of the plane that she would have been flying. He says, this is maybe the most exciting thing I will ever do in my life. I don't know if that's a really good thing to admit. He says, I feel like a 10-year-old going down on a treasure hunt. And he describes for you guys how famous Amelia Earhart was at the time. Now, she was a pioneering pilot. She was a woman. And she did all these record-breaking things that were amazing. And he basically says, for anybody who's unfamiliar with her, it would be the same thing. He says, for her to go missing was just unthinkable. Imagine Taylor Swift just disappeared today. The most famous person on the earth just disappeared. So I looked into this a little bit because I didn't really know much about the Amelia Earhart flight. I knew about Amelia Earhart. I didn't know the history of it. But on July 2nd, 1937, she and her navigator, who's a guy named Fred Noonan, took off from Papua New Guinea. And right near the end of their historic trip, they had planned to refuel on this island. Now, the island was uninhabited. And so what they did was, in anticipation of her landing the plane on this island, they built a runway and they loaded up a ton of fuel so that she and her navigator, Fred Noonan, could land on this runway that they made just for her and refill with all these, you know, cans of gasoline for her plane. But she never arrived. Earhart and Noonan took off from Ley into a strong headwind. That's the island in Papua New Guinea. Operators listened to Earhart's radio message as she flew across the Pacific towards Howland Island. That's the island where she was supposed to land. And a half degree north of the equator. The Coast Guard said, stationed near the island, estimated that their progress by the strength of the radio transmissions. And they said that the radio transmissions were so strong when they were coming in that the radio operator went outside and looked up in the air, expecting to see Amelia Earhart land on this island. But she never did. She was never seen again. So this guy has gone down. This Tony Romeo has gone down, and he thinks he found the plane. They're going to go back out there and hopefully find it. It's in 5,000 meters of water. So it's very, very deep. And, you know, that's probably why it hasn't been found in so long. You think about how long the Titanic was down there, and that's the ship the size of the Titanic. This is just a tiny little aircraft. So it's, you know, it makes sense why they haven't found it. As I was looking into this, though, I was interested in what Amelia Earhart sounds like because I have never actually heard her speak. I've seen countless pictures of her. I know that there's that movie with Hilary Swank who played Amelia Earhart that people seem to love, but I've never actually heard her. So, because this is radio and it's an audio medium, I went back and I found an interview that Amelia Earhart did with the BBC right after she became the first woman to complete a solo transatlantic flight. Now, the audio is a little fuzzy because it's very, very old, but it's kind of interesting. Here it is.
How far out were you when you first had the engine trouble?
It wasn't exactly engine trouble. It was the exhaust only, the exhaust manifold. I should say I was 3 hours out of Harbor Grace.
Where did you actually make your landing from there, huh?
I cruised inland until I found a suitable pasture. I landed there after frightening all the cows in the neighborhood and rolled up to the farmer's front door.
Who was the first person you saw?
The owner of the land came out. I think he was surprised to find an airplane in his front yard.
I'll bet he was.
I should have felt much more responsible had anyone been with me. It was really a relief to be alone.
What are your immediate plans, Mr. Earhart?
Well, I hope to go to Rome to the conference of transatlantic flyers in a few days.
And then shall you be thinking about going home?
Yes, it's time for me to go home then.
I love the music that they put at the beginning and ending of that. So that's Amelia Earhart. In case you're wondering what she sounded like, there it is. So they might find her plane. And if they do, I'll let you know. I know you guys are on the edge of your seat to find that out. All right, we got a lot more coming up. Next hour, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's our third hour. It's where we really get to chill out and just have a good time. So stick around for that. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.